never filtered, always fun.
There was some other people that are a part of the show that came over, and they caught me eating the rice with the spoon.
The serving spoon?
What's wrong with you? Guaranteed some of the rice went back into the pan.
I've done it 10 times.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
You guys gotta do me a favor and come over to my condo early morning one day to hear just the sights and sounds.
Like at 7 a.m.?
Yeah.
Well, that's when
Can you do it? Can you just come and see? Like a giant crane smashing metal against the ground, like every day.
You live in a construction zone.
You gotta come and see it.
You live in downtown Toronto. That's what your construction zone is. All they're doing is building condos.
I know, man, but I did not sign up for that.
You have to know that going in, though. Anywhere south of Bloor, that's
what you're getting. Well, you already know I hate myself because there's a giant hole and they're building a new phase. So I'm like, why would I move in there?
What time does that start, though?
7 on the dot.
See, I'll take that, man. My daughter rolls into our bed at 6:30.
Yeah.
So if you want to switch, give me that extra half an hour. I'll happily be woken up at 7.
Will you let me switch?
I don't think I have a vote in that.
Yeah.
If my wife says go for it, then yeah,
I'll take the condo. Yes, guy.
I'll take the condo for a week. How about that old show, Wife Swap? You ever watch that? You never saw the show?
I think it was where they
two different families.
It could be like a rich dude that was like a banker goes out to be a farmer, and the farmer goes into.
Yeah, but you know that went south. Like there was some serious.
Oh, I'll guarantee you, there was a couple that they said, you know what?
Maybe this is a better setup. Maybe it's a better setup.
It's not good. It's not. That show, we should look into that show. Guaranteed that show had some issues.
I don't know. I mean, if you're going into it, it's one of those things, like, why would you volunteer for something like that?
If you were single, would you go on the dating game?
No.
No, neither would I.
I'd have no interest in that. Like a bachelor or something like that? First of all,
bachelor,
they wouldn't be
number
calling
one,
me.
Tell me about.
But no,
I actually watched something recently. There was, and this isn't funny, there was a guy who years later was convicted of being a serial killer. He was on the dating game. And you can actually see him, like, contestant number one, and he's like, I am Cliff whatever. And the guy later, they caught him as being a serial killer.
Okay, but was he picked in the end?
No, I don't think so. Actually, yes, he was.
Wow, where's your radar? Like, where's the show's radar, and then where is the contestant's radar?
You have no radar. You don't know what somebody does.
I think I could pick out a serial killer.
This is Mals, like, could have people trapped in his basement. You don't know.
Well, in his garage.
I know. I could pick. I'm not going to name names. If I had to name a name around here, it wouldn't be Mullen, who I have going Buffalo Bill when they go home.
That's true.
There's a few.
Who's your Buffalo Bill from TSN?
I'm not naming it. I'm not going to go down that road.
No, you can't.
I can't name it.
A Buffalo Bill from, like, TSN. Even,
like, we crossed the line. We are habitual line steppers.
The guy that does the audio stuff, he's.
No, Ian wouldn't do
he's
that.
He's up to no good.
But that is an HR nightmare. These guys were on the air trying to pick off who would be the serial killer at TSN Radio.
I'm going
to
Google it.
That's likely a suspension.
Will you tell me when we go to break?
Yeah, oh yeah. We'll get into it. Anyway, lots to get into today. It's Hall of Fame night. Usually we're down at the Hall of Fame, but because of my knee problems.
A little laid up.
We decided that it's probably not in our best interest to be stuffed into
you
the Hockey
decided.
Hall of Fame. Yeah, I made that call. But I did say, if you guys want to go and Scotty Mac can do the show, but we decided.
I will say I'm a little bit disappointed. I liked being down there for that night. I think we did it 2 or 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamie, we had to do some TV stuff with Gino for That's Hockey.
Yeah.
It's just a fun night to be a part of, to see. It's the ultimate kind of end to your hockey career when you go into the Hall of Fame. It's an awesome night for those guys.
Yeah, it's a really cool spot. Like, it's not very big. It looks bigger on TV than it really is.
It's actually not even a spot. It's like.
It's like a foyer.
Yeah,
it's just an open hall where they kind of cram everyone in. And listen, there's enough room. It's not as if it's uncomfortable, but they really filter people down that one hallway, and that's generally where we're set up.
It's a petting zoo. That's what it is. You walk down there, and it's a petting zoo for the Hall of Famers.
The problem is, whenever we go on location, the one guy we always try to get on is Brian Burke, and he used up all his ammo on the morning show this morning.
So what did you make of the... Do you want to hear them first, or...
Yeah, why don't we play the one big comment that has people all up in arms and reacting. About the media.
Oh, about the media.
Here in Toronto, and how they feel about the Leafs, because Burke... This is why he's one of the great interviews in sports, and this is why...
To shoot from the hip.
I'm a fan of him, even though I don't agree. I probably agree with him 50% of the time, disagree with him 25% of the time, and vehemently disagree with him 25% of the time. But I enjoy his candor, and I enjoy talking to him and listening to him. And he was on with Naylor and Landsberg this morning, and this is what he had to say about Toronto and the media setup.
The problem here is there's 100 people in the dressing room after practice, and when the team loses, 80 of them are picking up the biggest rock they can find. That's the problem here, is there's actually a significant chunk of the media that wants you to fail. We don't have that in Calgary. We don't have that in Edmonton. So it's a different vibe. It's a different tone.
So I don't know how he would know what they have in Edmonton. He's never worked in Edmonton. He doesn't live in Edmonton. I don't know how he can speak up for the media in Edmonton. And it's kind of a backhanded slap at the journalistic integrity in Calgary, where he's essentially insinuating that they're all cheerleaders out there. But he was talking about Sam Bennett prior to that. Yeah. And we'll get to this clip in a moment. But he's had a run-in with the Toronto media for years.
Yeah.
And what I will say about Burke, to be fair to Burke, is he's one of the very few people walking the earth that has a first-person account of being in the media's crosshairs. He can understand what it's like to be under attack or to feel as if you're under attack, and I understand why he takes it personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but to generalize the media and suggest that 4 out of 5 media members want the team to lose, I think is ludicrous, because consider the amount of media members. Joe Bowen's in the media. You think Bonesy wants them to lose?
No.
Oh, you're in the media. You wear your alumni jacket around the rink. Like, you want team.
That's the 2 then out of 10.
Well, but there's a lot of them.
Yeah,
like,
no.
You know, are there a
couple
of them?
But I will say this, just from my experience doing the games with Tatman, team loses, phone lines, full. Team wins, nothing.
That's the fans.
But that's
not the media.
But don't you think, like, it's... After a win, like a standard, like Saturday night 4-1 win, don't you find like the articles and the whole vibe is kind of just normal? But if it's just a gruesome loss, it's just front page headlines. So there's an element of what he's saying that is true.
But it's passion, though. Like, that's the one thing it's passion.
Look what's going on right now. Noodles is defending.
I am, but here,
Toronto.
Here's what I'll say, and you tell me if I'm somewhat correct on this. I've had a few friends that had potential to come to Toronto, and I think I've said this on the show before. And they asked me about the market, and I said, and this was my equation, and I think I've told you guys this: 8 out of 10 people here in Toronto. So I'm saying 80%. Will love you no matter what. I just feel like there's that type of like fandom, like the 8 out of 10. 20%, so 2 out of 10, will have a problem with you no matter what you do. But the 20% is very loud. That's the only thing I've ever noticed about that. Because I'll go back and there's a overwhelming support in this city. But it's to your point, the support is it seems to be there all the time. But if it's negative support, that's where the uproar, the loudness comes from.
Yeah,
but I think that's in all pro sports.
I think that's probably true. I think you should expect that going into it. Pro sports is not easy the time.
No, it's not.
It can be difficult. People have opinions and people voice their opinions. I think there might be an element of jealousy here as well from Burke's standpoint, because it didn't work out when he was here. There were tire fires. Yeah. He got fired.
He got fired during a non-season.
Right. Coming out of the lockout. Like three days after the lockout, he was fired. Now, that's not the media or the fans' fault. That was Bell and Rogers and Tannenbaum who made that decision.
Yep.
But since he's left and he spends a lot of time here, I'm sure he has picked up on the fact that it's been pretty easy going for Shanahan, Lou, and Babcock, and everyone loves where this team is going and what they've done recently.
Yeah.
And he didn't specifically say, you know, I blame the media for my downfall or for it being difficult when I was here.
It's a part of it, though.
It kind of sounds indirectly, and that's a cop-out for the work you put in. Because even if it is true that 80% of the media wants you to fail, that doesn't affect who you draft, who you sign, who you trade, right, how you develop prospects.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't affect what you do personally.
Not at all.
So you can't, out of one side of your mouth, say, oh, it's all white noise, whatever, and then the other side of your mouth be like, well, that's why we're different here, or it's hard here, or makes it more difficult here.
Yep.
And I think the media outside of Toronto desperately wants to see this team lose. I think everyone outside of Toronto hates this city and hates the team. But it wants to see it go south.
But that's only natural. Like, that's, if you're not a fan of the Leafs, then why would you want them to have success?
But that's the thing, though, that the media here gets goofed on for pumping the tires of Matthews, gets goofed on for talking about how great Marner is. So you can't have it both ways.
No.
Because from that standpoint, you're like, oh, look at this. The Leafs plan the parade. Look at all the attention they're getting. Look right at all the. So when they get rave reviews, it gets mocked, and when people are overly optimistic, it gets mocked. And then when it's negative because the team deserves it because they're playing poorly, it's unfair.
Here's the only thing I will say.
What about the player, though, that he's talking about? Sam Bennett?
Well, let's play this clip, okay? Yeah. Because this is how it started. It preceded this. He was asked about Bennett, and Bennett's former fourth overall pick. He's into his third season. He's 1 point on the season.
Struggling.
Here's what Burke had to say.
If he were in Toronto, they'd have traded him 70 times, shot him 6 times, condemned his parents 4 times. Like, mm-hmm. No, this is Sam has had a tough start. Mm-hmm. We really think the world of this young man, and he's going to be fine. But, yeah, it's a better market. If he was going through that here, he'd be getting crucified.
He has 1 point. He's coming off a miserable year last year. He's in his third season. What would he expect? What do you expect people to say about that?
Fourth overall, right?
He went fourth overall. He's in his third season. He's got 1 point. Last year, he had a really down season.
Yeah.
I don't understand what you would expect. Like, of course, people are going to be like, this is a bit of a problem. This guy's not playing.
And you know, the condemn the parents thing was referring to the Reimer thing where, who was it? Was it Dave Feschuk that called Reimer's?
Called the mom and asked about their concussion.
I don't know.
He's got a jaded viewpoint of Toronto because of his own experience.
Right. And that's,
and I can understand it because he went through it. Like, I get it. I would probably have a different viewpoint as well because he went at it with some media members. Now, a lot of it was self-inflicted. He created some storms himself, but he got let go, and then they went to the playoffs. He probably didn't get enough credit for the team that got to the playoffs. He did some good work.
Well,
like, listen, let's be honest. Kadri's here because of him. Morgan Riley's here because of him. Gardner, Van Riemsdyk, Komarov, Bozak.
We were talking about it the other day. He was actually right on Morgan Riley.
Yes.
He said he would have taken him first. And who got taken first that year?
That was Yakupov.
Exactly.
Guys, yes,
skating around out there like he's a beekeeper.
Oh, he made some good moves here. He made some good moves in Toronto.
And Morgan Riley looks pretty damn good. He's a pretty good player.
He's having a breakout year offensively. Anyway, two more points again on Saturday.
Yeah, that's you know what? What Brian Burke is really good for? Us in the media.
The best material out there. That's why he's got an open door on this show whenever.
But he's also, we've talked to him off
air. I'm a fan of Brian Burke.
It's funny why he doesn't like it, but he still feeds the beast where he just.
He knows exactly.
He likes talking about it.
I know, but for someone to just talk about the Toronto media, but then he goes on Toronto media and gives hot takes, you would think he would do the opposite.
Well.
Like Lou, we love Lou, but it's not.
Yeah, you're not getting,
you know what you're getting out of him.
Shanny doesn't even. Shanny doesn't get involved, really. When's the last time Brendan did anything in the media?
I think, honestly, Brendan Shanahan probably owes a debt of gratitude to Brian Burke because he's done the complete opposite of Brian Burke. He learned from Brian Burke's tenure. I think Shanahan came in here, and maybe he was going to do it anyway, but I think he looked at it and said, you know what, I'm not going down that road. Because Burke was willing to talk. He was willing to discuss moves he wanted to make. Remember at the draft, he's like, as of today, we're moving up, and we're going to try to get the first pick for John Tavares.
Yeah.
Remember hearing that, being like, Dude, you don't understand what market you're in yet.
Yeah.
Because you do not say that here. You say it in Anaheim and no one's going to pay attention.
Yeah.
You say it here, people are going to hold your feet to the fire and demand you make the trade.
Was that Jim Benning moment at the draft?
that was one that, again, I loved. I'm sitting there like, this is great. But well, then it's like, okay, let's see what you got.
Yeah, he's shooting from the hip. I've
Do you remember in Buffalo when old Jimmy Benning just went on a tear?
10 feet away from us.
Yeah.
In on Stamkos, want to get PK.
Blake and Price, right, wasn't it?
Blake and Price and Sakaris.
Yeah, sorry, Price and Sakaris.
TSN Radio in Vancouver.
Man, they were just, weren't they just waving to us, being like, you got to hear what's going on
here? Oh, yeah. They were giving us the full lowdown on the air.
It's,
anyway, listen, Burke is interesting radio. He's great radio, I think. I think a part of it to media members, I can't speak for anyone else. What do I know? I can speak for me and this team or this show. But it does come down to who actually is running the team and personal relationships.
Yep.
I think Shapiro and Atkins are dealing with that since they came along because of who they took over for. Everyone loved Anthopoulos. Everyone loved Beeston. And then these two American guys from Cleveland roll in. Yeah. And I think there are media members that didn't like him right from the start and have never given them a fair shake. Well, want now, to see them fail. Now, openly want to see them fail.
And now AA is
down and
resurfaced.
ATL. He's got a new gig, and you knew that was coming. Like, when he walked away from here, he knew another job was going to be available for him.
Played by him.
Played perfectly.
Well, when you're good in this business, any business, you're going to land on your feet. Like, him walking away, but getting another opportunity. You knew he had, and you know, I read Steve Simmons' articles and his comments on Twitter about, you know, AA is known as one of the best or nicest executives to deal with. And
well, that's why I think, again, he was really liked here.
Yeah.
He treated people with respect. He was willing to talk to you. He may not say anything to you.
Yeah.
You know, I interviewed him countless times when he was running the show here, and I don't remember walking away being like, wow, he really gave me a nugget, but he said nothing very nicely.
Yeah.
You know, he showed you respect.
That's the thing. I think
and
respect
he's an easy guy to like from that standpoint, an easy guy to root for. Whether or not it's going to work for him in Atlanta, I mean, he's got a big job ahead of him. The Braves have been a disaster for quite some time.
Well, they're probably going to be the next team that wins the championship. That's what baseball does now. It's like you're brutal. Like Houston was just ridiculously brutal, then they win.
If that's his plan, like if his sales pitch was to
gotta be his plan,
let's be awful and load up.
And it's the
picks
best plan going in. You can be like, just give me some time. We got to get some prospects, some draft picks, and in a couple years we'll be around.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't work, then you're in trouble. But
you've bought yourself like 3 years.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah, it really is. Like, and it makes you wonder why Shapiro and Atkins. I think that's probably what they wanted to do. You know, that was the belief, that has been the belief that Shapiro sold them on.
They are just jammed right in middle ground where it's like, we got so many good, like, talented players. Like, what do we do with this?
They took over a team that was on the verge of going to back-to-back ALCS.
Yeah.
Like, they went to the ALCS twice. I mean, what are you going to do? You walk in, you take over a gig, the team just made it to the playoffs for the first time in 20 years. They couldn't immediately turn that around and trade off pieces and get rid of everyone.
Right.
I mean, I can see, I guess they could have technically.
But they're on the clock now.
Now they're on the clock.
Big time.
And they've got a big few weeks ahead of them because the winter meetings are right around the corner and the GM's meetings begin this week and the rumors are going to start circulating and guys are going to start signing soon. And
you know, there were people that weren't happy with the way that they handled the Halliday situation, which is, I know, it. There's no manual for
that's
that.
That's the thing. Like, I'm willing, I don't know what
you're willing
they were
to give
do.
Them a.
Well, I don't like the report that they made Halliday,
like, ask for a job.
Essentially send his resume up here and try, ask, you know, plead with them to give him a job. If that report is true, that's an embarrassment.
Yeah.
That's a joke, you know, as I said on Friday. But as for dealing with the tragedy itself, I don't know, man. I'm not going to hammer them for that.
No, it's I think what people were disappointed that, you know, Philadelphia was doing something and having a press conference and that, but he wasn't recent here in Toronto. That's the unfortunate part. Like, the bringer of rain doesn't
Yeah, none of the current players would be able to speak
sit down
to
and talk about it.
And none of them were in Toronto. Cole Hamels, luckily, happened to be in Philly.
Yeah, just it's still a very sad situation.
People are going nuts about your new parking spot. Like it's.
Did you tweet out about it? Did you tweet the picture out?
Well, you've had a reserved parking spot for a while, but I guess someone down here created a poster for you. And it's you as like a little fairy. Like, how would you describe that?
I don't even know what that is. But
I think just
like an angel.
It's an angel. You're an angel with wings.
And just a horrible hairstyle.
Whose hairstyle? That's what we should. Whose hairstyle is that?
But that's what's so frustrating about that sign. All I wanted was my parking spot. That's it. A little thing that said Jeff O'Neill, or not, I guess it's all new now, numbers.
It is numbers, but that one, the hair is outstanding.
Yeah, but numbers is awful, because if you don't, people are just going to park anywhere.
Well, you've got your own picture up there, though, with your name, so you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, you're going to be fine. It's you're me. Good.
Yeah, but the effort and the cost, like, that's a wood sign.
That was...
As opposed to spending $10.
That. Somebody must have commissioned a painting.
We got to get to the bottom of it. How much did that cost?
Who did it?
That's $150 right there.
Minimum.
Min.
That's solid wood.
It's a portrait.
It's not a portrait.
It looks like a photoshopped portrait. I feel like I've seen that picture.
Put it up in the condo.
I feel like I've seen that picture.
Why would I steal it? Because then I'm going to go another year and a half without a parking spot.
It's an icebreaker. You put that up in the house?
That actually is an icebreaker. You walk
really?
In,
that's an icebreaker?
You dim the lights, but you have a spotlight on that, and then you walk out of...
So that's just, like the Costanza on the couch?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's your Costanza.
No. No.
You walk out of the bedroom with your alumni coat on?
Alumni jacket with that picture up in the hall?
That in the background with a spotlight on it?
The Jeter of Toronto.
Mow your lawn.
You'll
Monday.
Be mowing lawns. We'll get to that later in the hour. Rays coming up. The Leafs practice today. We'll get into what happened down there. They're coming off another big couple of wins. They don't lose to
weekend.
Boston. They don't lose to Boston. We'll touch on that next. Mow your lawn Monday later in the hour. Lots of material coming out of the weekend. Lots of options. Shout out to my boy, Brett Hundley, superstar quarterback of the Packers. I knew you had it in you.
No, you didn't. You were like, you know, whatting him all week.
I thought the Browns were going to win yesterday. I always keep like just looking at the scores.
Yeah.
And I think they were tied like late, weren't they?
I don't even think they covered the number. That's the best thing about the Browns is you're right. They started hot. They were up 10-0 quick.
It was like 24-24 or something, and then it was all of a sudden like 50-24. I'm like,
they lost by 14. They didn't even cover. So imagine that. You're a degenerate gambler, and you think, I'm going to at least lay a bet on the Browns covering. I think the number was like 12.5.
Yeah.
They're up 10-0 right off the hop.
So you're in good shape.
You got 22.5 points to play with. They've got to bring that home for you.
And they don't.
And they give up 14 late. It was tied going into the fourth quarter. They give up 14 in the fourth quarter. No answers. Their quarterback got injured, and they don't even cover the number. And now they're the only undefeated team in the league because the Niners beat the Giants. And our boy Don LaGreca down in New York is not happy.
He is the Joe Bisarchik theorem. You're dead.
Some kind of pissed.
Well, we've got Herm Edwards back on the show today, and we've got to ask him about Joe Bisarchik and the miracle at the Meadowlands because he picked up the fumble.
So we'll play the clip for Herm,
mm-hmm.
get a reaction, and then get him to walk us through what happened that day, that fateful day.
Joe Bisarchik made him a household name.
Yeah.
Like Herm Edwards was a really good player and a long-standing player, but has to be the biggest fumble touchdown recovery in in his life and one of the most famous ones in league history. Joe Bisarchik.
Man.
You're dead.
The Joe Bisarchik theorem. You're dead.
All right, Mow Your Lawn Monday later in the hour. Rays coming up. Herm Edwards later in the afternoon. We'll get into the Maple Leafs weekend in 2 minutes. We'll be right back. So I think it's safe to say the Leafs have had a pretty fascinating season so far. I don't think it matches what we had a year ago. Like, it's still too early. I guess we can really revisit that at the end of the year. But last year was just a high wire act from start to finish. And the amount of games they threw away late in third periods, the amount of times they lost in overtime in a shootout, which hasn't happened this year. Every time they get to overtime or a shootout, they win, which is a big difference compared to what they did a year ago. But they've essentially had three stages so far as I can see it. Early in the season, they were playing shinny, but they were winning. They were scoring at will and winning. They went 6-1, 7-2, whichever way you want to look at it. Then the next stage was the sloppy stage, where they were playing like shinny, but they weren't scoring, but they were giving up goals left, right, and center and losing. They lost 5 of 6 in regulation. And now this third stage has been the Matthews injured stage, where it's kind of been low scoring, sloppy, choppy play, but they're 4-0. So they're probably going to be a high wire act again all year. I think in the end they'll clean it up. I think in the end they're going to be a playoff team. But you got to give them credit. I mean, there was a lot of panic in this city when you found out that Matthews wasn't going to be playing, and they performed well without him. They've got the job done at the very least.
Yeah, the goalies were really good. I thought McElhinney was terrific.
I thought he was awesome. Yeah, he was really good.
He needed to, I think he needed to just kind of settle in, because that's very tough to do. They played 4 games that week, and you're the last one on a back-to-back, and it's a grind.
Well, it's funny how the McElhinney haters, man, they go real quiet when he plays well.
But they're real not educated quiet when it comes to, like, judging a backup goaltender. Like, that's the problem that rattles me, because it you can't just throw numbers at a position like that, because every backup goaltender has a unique situation. The starter, some guys are backing up starters who play 70 games. So you're literally going to get one start every 5 or 6 weeks. Some guys are backing up guys who play 50 games, so they get to get into a groove. You have to look at rest. How many games? Jonas was on the show, I think it was off air, though, we were talking the other day about save percentage on a back-to-back. Like, I'll take 90% of Jonathan Quick or Pekka Rinne or the best goalies in the league, Carey Price, on a back-to-back instead of
100% of whoever their backup
McLennan
is,
or Montoya, or any of those players. Like, that's just the truth. And they don't factor in, also, that the team in front of them is tired. Like, that's the thing. Like, you're saying, oh, the save percentage is worse on the second night. Yeah, the team in front of them is sleepy, too. Their legs are shot as well. Like, they've flown and not slept and done all the things. Like, so it's, I believe in the stats, and I believe in some of it. That one is where you need to more deep dive the context of it.
Well, and you also have to be realistic in terms of your evaluation. Like, he is the backup. No one's comparing Dominic Moore to Austin Matthews, because they're smart enough not to. Of course, McElhinney's not going to put up what Anderson does, or Price. Right. He's not. He's a backup. There's a reason he's a backup.
You're playing 15 games a year.
Right. But Roman Polak compared to Morgan Rielly, we don't do that. But we realize they're a third-pairing defenseman.
You're right, and it's a great point. But the thing is, I believe a backup has to give you 500 hockey.
Sure. He's two and one, I think.
So don't look at the numbers. Look at the win-loss, because that's what's going to matter when it comes to a backup for the Toronto Maple Leafs, because what you need is Freddie Anderson to be 700 or 690 or whatever in his win percentage. Then you'll be in good shape.
I thought Mitch Marner had a junior weekend. Yeah, back-to-back games, 4 points.
He looked good.
Like, he rolled through the Sioux in North Bay. You know what I'm saying? Like, one of those weekends where you're like, a bit of a slow start, but the big dog's going to load it up. Got a couple of weak teams, because that Bruins team is depleted. They're young.
God, did you see the stat? They had 8 guys that were playing in Providence last year.
Yeah, like, they're really young.
They're really
kind of transitioning right now.
Yeah. I talked about Mitch Marner for the post-game hit. His fortunes changed in a couple of minutes, because he was terrible on Friday night. Like, on the power play, giving pucks away and falling down. I was talking with James and Puffy, like, getting the video. I'm like, this is not working out for this guy right now. All of a sudden,
sets up JVR, sets up Marlowe for the winner.
Yeah. Snipes in Boston and think that's...
And he's alive.
He's alive.
Because
he was... Well, he went from getting called into Mike Babcock's office saying, what the hell's wrong with you, to, way to go, bud.
Way to go. You're the focal point of the offense again. Yeah. Well, it can go that quick.
Right.
Things can turn quickly. Yeah. I mean, again, we'd be looking back on this weekend differently if Van Riemsdyk didn't tie that game up. They walk away with a split. They lose 2-1 on Friday night.
Because it looked like it was going to be 2-1.
Yes. When Pasternak scored, you're thinking, that's it. Like, this has been a choppy game. Not a lot of opportunities either way.
It was a kind of a choppy game. I was talking to somebody this afternoon about it. The league is all special teams. And you have to win games now on special teams. Because 5-on-5, everyone seems to match each other for the most part.
Everybody's checking, like they check.
Everyone's checking, and for some reason, the last week, the league is just really tightened up.
Like, that's what Babcock was preaching for the first 3 weeks.
He was, but systems have started, and teams are starting to get more familiar with each other, and you're playing a team a second time around, and it does tighten up, but the scoring's been down, guys are getting a little bit tired, I think that's where you have to rely on systematic play. And Leafs did a good job over the weekend I thought both goaltenders played very well, which you need. That's part of the team. And McElhinney deserves a ton of credit. And I thought Mitch Marner looked good. Patrick Marleau. Like, there's some guys that you need in the absence of Austin Matthews.
And that's exactly what happened. And Matthews didn't skate today, but I'm not surprised by that. I give him as much time as you can. And Babcock said they expect him to skate on his own tomorrow, then hopefully practice on Wednesday. And if he practices on Wednesday, you have to believe he'll play on Thursday. And this is the time to get the rest. And it's easy to look back on it now, hindsight being 20-20, but this worked out beautifully for them. He shuts down for 3 games, and they go 3-0.
Right.
And I think, honestly, that probably emphasizes, even though it's a small sample size, that the truth is that Freddie Anderson is the most important player on the team.
Yep.
And I was thinking about it this morning, just trying to break down Matthews and every other superstar in the league compared to the importance of their goaltender. If there wasn't a Vezina trophy, if there was just an MVP, I think every single year a goalie would be the MVP.
Yeah, they have to be.
Even last year, like, McDavid was spectacular. If Cam Talbot's average, finished with like 92 points in
this. I totally agree with you. Goalie every time.
Almost all the time. Like, I think Bobrovsky would have been the MVP last. And he was up for it. He didn't get it. But if you just accept that, because a lot of times it's like, well, he's going to get the Vezina, so we'll give him that.
Right.
You know, like, if you
just
look
win
at
the actual goalie award.
Right, right, exactly. You got the, it's like defensemen. They have a tough time winning the Hart because, well, you got the Norris. You've got your own award. Right. It's like the Hart is almost designated specifically for the forwards. And I'm not taking anything away from the impact and the importance of Matthews and McDavid and Sid. All these guys are obviously very, very important players and valuable players. But the goaltender makes or breaks seasons more often than not.
Go back to Austin Matthews' first career game. Scores 4, they lose.
Freddie was giving up 5 that night.
Not good that night.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. Goaltending is the most important position. And if you get solid goaltending, then it allows your team to be very good or not that good. And I thought McElhinney was outstanding on Saturday when he needed to be.
Look at St. Louis. Everyone talks about, their new offense, and they're doing, but it's their goalie.
Well, Jake Allen's been good.
He's been unbelievable.
Yeah, look at Vasilevsky. Mm-hmm. Stamkos and Kucherov, like, they did it again last night. Yeah, they swept through California.
Yeah.
Those two, and Namestnikov and Hedman, they're loaded.
Yeah.
Vasilevsky has a .930 save percentage. If he's got an .890, the Leafs are probably tied with them right now.
Yeah, they're losing some games.
They're losing some games. He's got a .930 save percentage.
Those guys will get their points.
They're getting their numbers, but they're going to lose 5-4 a couple times.
Ask a Montreal fan right now. Because if Carey Price is just average in a couple of those games early on, I've watched Montreal every one of their games this year.
Mm-hmm.
If he was just average, like Carey Price average,
they got 3 or 4 more points.
Easily. Because there were times where he had some bad puck luck, where he wasn't sharp. I mean,
take the Leaf game. The Habs were better than the Leafs that night.
I was just going to say.
He fell on the Matthews goal.
He fell on the first Matthews goal. And Matthews had great shots. But Carey stops one of those shots. One of the two that
absolutely
scored that night. If he's on his game. That's the difference between elite goaltending, good goaltending, and subpar goaltending. I have no doubt that Carey will get it back. It's just early on, he struggled.
Uh-oh, I've pissed off the OHL crowd. I got to get my facts straight. This is according to Claude sending in an email. He said, Hayes, get your facts straight. The Greyhounds are the fifth best team in the CHL this year. Don't compare Marner going through the Sioux and North Bay on a weekend. Read, comprehend, and get your facts straight.
What does that even mean? It's not a fact. It's
I was joking. I'm like, yeah, it was a junior.
But you didn't even
weekend.
Say anything about Sioux. You just said he wheeled through the Sioux.
Okay. I got to be careful, apparently. My bad. I shouldn't have made a joke about Mitch Marner having a junior weekend.
That's one thing.
Sorry, Claude.
A friend of my family told me when I got into this industry. You better be careful, because if you get one little thing wrong, people go crazy. And it's true.
Well, even with Sault Ste. Marie being the fifth best team in the OHL, I have a feeling Mitch Marner could get some points on them.
Nope, not according to Claude.
And I think North Bay might be ripe for the picking for Mitch
Marner.
What
you were doing is talking overall.
Right.
And he needs to know better.
Sorry, Claude. I'll
Don't
get that right
Claude.
Next time.
He's coming out. He's spitting.
Yeah, he's coming out
at you.
Throwing bombs.
It's all good.
Ray coming up and Mow Your Lawn Monday next. Massive, massive news that is going to bother a lot of people in the greater Toronto area. Armbands being worn, black armbands up in Woodbridge.
In the bridge and Vaughan and where else? Kleinberg?
Yeah, Kleinberg down on College, St. Clair.
You think
Italy is out of the World Cup. They did not qualify for the 2018 World Cup. First time since 1958.
You think
we just talked to Joe from the bridge on speaker. He said the manager shouldn't be allowed into the locker room. Like, fired immediately.
Why is it the manager's fault? Is the player? What did he do?
It's got to be someone's fault. I don't know. I wasn't watching. Like, I just assume they're locks every single year.
Well, it's not good for soccer if they're not in it.
It's like, I love chirping my Italian friends and guys like Joe from the bridge. There's a lot of Italians that work down here, and they're all so passionate about the national team. But that makes it fun.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, Canada's not going. So it's not like I have a leg to stand on. Last time I checked, Scotland hasn't necessarily been there in a while either.
Doesn't that kind of, like, Canada, I know it's a cold place, but
it's ridiculous that we haven't
qualified. We have nothing. We have no team that does anything. Like,
there are, like, Iceland is in. They have 300,000 people. Iceland qualified. 300,000 people. We have 35 million.
Yeah.
Like, can we get 11 people on this freaking country to learn how to play and get out there?
11. That's all we're looking for.
But 11 great players, not just 11 schmucks.
Well, good enough to get in anyway.
They'll be fine.
All right.
Canada's it's in the works.
You think so?
I have a feeling.
Okay. You guys ready for Mow Your Lawn Monday?
Yes.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Can you call you sometime, Pocahontas?
You got a number? Want some of this?
How about a little of that?
All right.
Mow Your Lawn Monday.
What is love? Mow Your Lawn Monday is brought to you by our friends down at the Irv Pub, featuring a made-from-scratch menu and a great selection of local craft beer in the heart of Cabbage Town. Stop by the Irv Pub and say hi to Regan and Jackie. 195 Carlton. We love that place.
I think Mitchie Marner could have got off the plane on Saturday night and just wheeled in anywhere and said, nope, mine.
4 points in two nights. Focal point of the offense. Two big wins against a big rival like Boston.
Downtown Toronto. Just gimme, gimme.
That's a big, big night. Big opportunities for Mitch Marner.
I'm going to go with Curtis McElhinney. That's what he's brought in to do. Is get some wins and be a good backup when Freddie needs a night off. And I thought he was outstanding the other night.
Adrian Claiborne, 6 sacks last night for the Falcons. 6 sacks.
I think I know who I have for my Toilet Bowl Tuesday, though.
The left tackle that stepped in for Tyron Smith.
And let that guy go right to the quarterback.
Dak Prescott, he had no time all night. He got sacked 8 times yesterday.
I love your comment. He was running for his life.
Running for his life. But there were times where he didn't even know that he should be running for his life.
That would be the worst feeling in the world.
6 sacks is a team record for the Falcons, not shockingly. That like, hang him up. You're never going to have a bigger night than that.
No.
6 sacks, and that cat is rolling into bars in Atlanta saying,
gimme, gimme.
Yes.
Move along. I'm taking over this operation. Ray's coming up. He's tweeting about Italy not making it into the World Cup.
Heartbroken.
So we'll start chirping Ray about that and get his take on the Leafs and where they're going with Matthews, Marchand, and Komarov over the weekend. There was some animosity on Saturday night. We've got to revisit that conversation from Friday. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.